Good morning to each one of you. It's been a blessing to be here thus far. We thank God. Thank you, Brother Matt, for those words there. God's eternal word stands forever. You know, we think of men's ability to build and make huge buildings, and you know, we walk in them and go multiple stories up and we think it's pretty solid. We cross bridges not even once thinking about the foundations. But God's word is more sure than those things. That's a blessing. Think of that. I thought of that verse there in Psalms 119, verse 89. Maybe Matt quoted it and I didn't catch it. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." That brings us to an accountability when we hear the word of God. It's not just one flippant word. Somebody's mentioned in, you know, in passing, but that word has life. It's life breathed. And there's life in those words that come forth, and we give thanks for to God for that. The Word of God is our foundation. Though heaven and earth, thank you, Brother Matt, for those words. Though heaven and earth shall pass away, my words shall not pass away. I greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning. Thank you for being here and worshiping with us. And we look to God for strength, life. We look to God for everything that we need here in this life. And may we continue to do so. I'd like to have a word of prayer here this morning. May we can all rise to our feet and lift our hearts together to Him, asking Him that He would continue to minister to the needs of our hearts here this morning. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name this morning, as we have come multiple times this morning. We hope that You don't get weary of our continual coming. But Lord, we're needy folks. We're needy people here that need Your grace to filter our lives in such a way that would manifest Your glory here upon this earth. You truly ask us to be a light and testimony to bear witness of You here. Father, forgive us those times when we shrink back from the opportunities that You place before us. Father, forgive us those times that we this flesh has its way. God, I pray that this flesh would be crucified fresh this morning, that You truly, with Your Spirit, this Holy Spirit of God, would flow, be able to have a free course in each one of our lives. Father, we worship You. Thank You for this opportunity to be gathered together in Your name, to hear the Word of God, to sit under the preaching of Your Word, the eternal Word, as we heard this morning. Father, that it may bear fruit, much fruit, that it would bear fruit in each one of our lives, that it would have, that it would accomplish. Think of those words that that You spoke and that are written for us. When the rain from heaven falls and the snow and the hail, they fall from the sky, they fall from You, You make them fall, and they accomplish those things what You set them out to do. They water the earth, and they bring forth fruit from the trees and from the grass of the field in their season. And they do not return to You void, empty. They accomplish those things what You have purposed for them to do. And so is Your Word, the eternal Word of God. When it goes forth, when it is spoken, it accomplishes those things that You set it out to do. And Father, we thank You for those truths this morning. We pray that You let them sink into our hearts. Father, we pray that You would give me utterance here this morning with clarity of mind, speech, thought. that the things, this few crumbs here this morning that might accomplish those things that you have a desire for them to accomplish. Father, we thank you for it. We praise your name for it. May your name be glorified this little gathering this morning. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. A loaf of bread here set before us. I don't know what you think about when you see a nice golden loaf of bread, maybe at home on the table or mealtime. As I was meditating on this, my mind went a lot of directions. And just putting a piece of bread out, we could talk about a number of things. There's many references to it in Scripture, starting all the way back in Genesis about the bread. And there's different aspects of it. But what's the first thing that comes to mind when you see a loaf of bread just baked, maybe steaming, warm, fresh? We could talk about the makeup or what ingredients that are in it or what nutritional value is in it, how to get soft or firm or how to get big holes or little holes and how to change the texture, the taste, the color and the size. I mean, we could stand up here and dissect this loaf and really see what it is made of. Or we could talk about all the Scripture's uses of it, in which we may look at a few. My mind went to the different countries of the world that I've had the opportunity to visit. And I think in every country that there was some form of bread available. They weren't all the same. They didn't look all like this here. Some were short and stubby or flat or long and oblong. But I think they all had some form of bread. So I think you could go in any parts of the world, probably, maybe not in the Amazon basin. I shouldn't say it so freely. But it seems like that God used a word that is cross-cultural. And if not bread, at least food. And that's some of the meaning also in Scripture. Some have different uses. You know, there's some forms of cakes and pastries and different bread styles and flavors. In a lot of countries, there's some form of bread or grains. There may not be bread as we know it. But another use or picture of bread is just food in general. And we know that is the world over. Some more plenteous in some places than others. And we all know, depending on the amount available, will greatly reflect on strength or the lifespan on the individuals of that region. Because continuous, vibrant life is not to be had without good nutrition. So bread or food is a vital ingredient to life. Physical life as we know it. Now it also depends on what kind or quality of food that we take into our bodies. So if someone lives on junk food, he or she will be fatigued quicker than one that takes in wholesome food. But if you don't have good food or lack of food, eventually you will die. We know in African countries, they had or have this problem, deaths because of lack of food or bread, malnutrition. And there are evidences that show if an individual is malnourished, protruding bellies, a shrunken in look, etc. But there are signs of malnutrition. So then, there are places that have some food, but the quality of it or access to good quality isn't there, and so they too suffer. So we don't really know a lot of this besides what we hear or read from others. We live in the breadbasket, as it is sometimes termed, in the Midwest, where a lot of this country's grains are grown. We have food at every turn, every meal, 3 times a day, 7 days a week. And we have access to good quality food. So there is no reason for us to live on junk food. Our physical bodies need good nutrition to function properly, and we are not without. Maybe our problem is too much of the good stuff and not enough restraint. Now, since the beginning of time, food was a necessity for human life. You know, you can go on a fast for a length of time, but eventually your body needs some food. You'll lose strength and stamina. But you can go without food for a time. Why am I saying all this? The title for these few thoughts here this morning is Jesus, the Bread of Life. Turn to John 6. In the first part of chapter 6, we have the feeding of the 5,000 with 12 bushels left. The disciples cross the sea. Jesus walks on water to them. And the people follow them to the other side. And Jesus speaks to them, saying, "Verily, verily," verse 26, "I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Here Jesus tells them, don't work for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. Soul food, not so much human food. Food that makes the soul grow, mature, and prosper. Food that doesn't perish, we could say, some meat and potatoes for the soul. I don't believe he is discouraging us from providing for our own needs and or our family's needs, but rather do them with diligence and display the mind of Christ and bringing honor and glory to God while we are doing it. But not be so caught up in it that we lose our focus of why we are really here, as Brother Matt said this morning. Sometimes we do that. Kind of lose focus. Life becomes a mundane thing. It's just everyday, normal stuff. And we lose the reality of God in our lives. And so life just becomes work. And we do it every day. also with getting and providing food for the soul, making sure that our soul is not living on junk food. We want to draw some likeness from our physical body to our spiritual body. Can we tell when a soul is malnourished or suffering from the lack of good quality food? Romans 8:13, "For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." You know, there are some places individuals do not have the freedom to serve the Lord as we do, or have access to good literature as we do. Have they suffered for it? Maybe. But we have almost unlimited resources and opportunities. But maybe we'd rather succumb to the weak and beggarly things of this world. Maybe we resort too much on junk food that doesn't have eternal benefits, which leaves our souls wanting. Here in the title we have Jesus, the Bread of Life. Jesus is described in John with some beautiful definitions. In chapter 1, we have, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The same was in the beginning with God. Talking about the eternal Word. That was one of Jesus' titles. "No man has seen God at any time" could be written as a title of the Gospel of John. "No man has seen God at any time," verse 18 of chapter 1, "but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Here we have this word picture, in that he hath declared him. The eternal Word of God coming as incarnate, as flesh, as the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, full of grace and truth. "The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." Coming out of that eternal Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that the visible Jesus, that in the visible Jesus, the invisible God is brought forth into view. The very heart of the eternal is livingly displayed, for the only begotten Son comes even from the bosom of the Father. So you want to know how God looks like. You want to know how He responds to situations. You know what? You want to know what He thinks about in the different circumstances of life. We look to the visible Lord Jesus, the bread of life, bread for our eternal souls. In the first 6 chapters of John, I'm sure I didn't get them near all, but with a quick glance, Jesus is referred to as the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Word of God, the fullness of God, the life of God, the light of God, the gift of God, the love of God, bread from heaven, bread of life. I don't know about you, but sometimes find a hard time just trying to comprehend all that. You know, that's a lot of words, a lot of deep words, but you just have a hard time just getting it completely. I do. Maybe you don't. But this is Jesus that we're talking about. The Son of God, the Son of Man. And it is He that is the bread of life for us. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So we have opportunity for a feast. Imagine eating of some bread that causes you to live forever. I will give, Jesus said, my flesh for the life of the world. There's a few people sitting in here in this congregation. But he's talking about the life of the world. Except you eat and drink, you have no life in you. Verse 54 of chapter 6 says, Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. There's a continuing partaking process. Not just one time thing. It's a life. Not a one time feeding. Not just one meal. You would not think of going all week on one meal. If we feed our physical body once in a while, we will eventually waste away. Here's a testimony of Jesus to the Father in His physical form. John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. John 6:38, For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Jesus came not to do His own will. And I wonder if our flesh don't get preeminence under the heading of Christianity. I'm going to be asking you all for help here in a little bit. So start thinking of signs of malnutrition, thinking of an individual or soul or myself, of signs of malnutrition. We talked about evidences in a physical body of a body that has been malnourished for the lack of food or the proper food or a good quality food. We can see signs or evidences of in a physical body of someone that maybe is not getting fed right. And so the question for us here this morning is then we'll try to write some on the board then, but what are some signs? What are some evidences in a spiritual life of evidences that show forth that this person is malnourished of spiritual food? What may be some evidences that we are not taking or going after? It's not the getting because they are available. The right kind of food our eternal soul needs to survive properly or function. Remember, our measuring stick must be Christ, not each other. We are We're talking about Jesus' flesh and blood. Jesus, the bread of life. We must be partakers. It is not partake and then we are good to go for many miles. We must participate. We must not stand on the sidelines and just look on as gazers or as just observers. We must participate in this life. We don't put fuel in our vehicles when we buy them and expect them to go from then on out. It takes some maintaining to keep things running. So it is with redemption in every aspect of Jesus' teachings. We must keep the precious benefits of redemption and grace current, His love, a sin-free life. His providing the way to the throne of grace must stay open and well-trodden. To know God and the Lord Jesus, we must study the life of Christ and what His will is in us, what He wills in us. This takes some digging into His Word, making application to our lives, not so much to others. And we partake of these things by faith. When is the last time that you and I had a vibrant, healthy, exciting, personal devotion time with God? You know, sometimes we take the children's temperature to see if they're sick. There's some evidences and signs that show they're maybe not feeling well. Maybe their face is pale. They're acting kind of lethargic. Maybe they're not as energetic. And there's signs that you look for. It says, I wonder if he's not running a fever. And so you get the fever glass out and can hardly get anything out of them. Those are signs of sickness. So we try to do something about them. But how about taking our spiritual temperature? Our physical bodies, it's not good for them to get too hot. There's a certain temperature that God has designed us to be held at, and our bodies work hard to keep that. Just automatically. But it's the opposite with our spiritual bodies. It's not good for them to get lukewarm and cold. God wants fervency. God wants us to get close to the fire of His love. God is a consuming fire. And when we start moving a little closer to Him, He will burn up your dross. He will try us, sure. If that's the desire of your heart, and you ask God, and you want to walk with God, expect it. He will try you. So we want to take our spiritual temperature this morning. The great physician wants to help us with our sicknesses. Maybe we are malnourished and not getting the proper feeding. So let us help each other out in this. What may be some signs of sickness or malnutrition? There's a song I appreciate, a lot of songs I appreciate for that matter, but this one came to me as I was preparing. There's a phrase in 382, you all know it, it passeth knowledge. I think I'll just read it here. It passeth knowledge, that great love of thine. My Savior Jesus, yet this soul of mine, would of thy love in all its breath and length, its height and depth, its everlasting strength, know more and more. It passeth telling, that great love of thine, my Savior Jesus. Yet these lips of mine would fain proclaim to sinners far and near a love which can remove all guilty fear and love beget. But though I cannot sing or tell or know the fullness of thy love while here below, my empty vessel I may freely bring, O thou who art of love the living spring, my vessel fill. O fill me, Jesus, Savior, with thy love. Lead me to the living fount above. Thither may I go, in simple faith draw nigh, and never to another fountain fly, but unto thee. And when my Jesus face to face I see, when at his lofty throne I bow the knee, then of his love, in all its breadth and length, its height and depth, its everlasting strength, my soul shall sing. Thought of that little phrase, that not to another fountain fly. Is Jesus really enough? He's the bread of life. He calls himself, I am the bread of life. What may be some signs of sickness? I can understand this may be a little, to talk about it or to express it here, can feel a little vulnerable, maybe. But I think it would help each one of us. Myself, for sure. What may be some signs of sickness? See, we don't see our own selves as others. And it takes the body. My brothers can see me from a different angle than I see myself. What may be some signs of sickness and malnutrition in a soul's life? I'll just open it up. Someone have something? We can try to write it on the board.
Lack of prayer.
Thank you, Dan. Irritable. My mind went blank. How do you spell irritable? Help me out, you scholars.
I-R-R-I.
Okay. There's signs of not feeding. John. Doubts and fear. Which would produce faithlessness, right?
Disobedience.
Amen. Self-centeredness. True. Lack of joy. Amen. Downcast. Which there's the difference between I just lost it. To anyone else? Back there. Amen. Amen. On the contrary, did I miss someone? Amen. I had that one down too. That's right. Did I miss someone? That's good. So we get the idea. We get the picture here. Love waiting for my brother. You just feel a standoffish attitude and you just kind of avoidance. Maybe those are signs of sickness. Love for lost souls is diminishing. Maybe just the lack of the love of God within our hearts. Appreciate the lack of prayer I had down too. Poor attended prayer meetings or church functions. World's philosophy is starting to direct and guide us. World mindedness could come in under some of those. Cloudy continence. You know, sometimes a continence, just your countenance. Maybe there's not a lot showing, but the face is just not quite clear. Might be a sign. A standoffish attitude, I mentioned that. You know, I have a fence around me. You know, I'm okay. You know, you kind of have just a boundary around you that no one can get real close to you. Maybe those are signs of needing some good, healthy food. Going after the things of the world. After the things the world says are good and what you must have. I didn't finish it there. Our speech, as Brother Joe said, a conversation, what it consists of, and or if everything has to be funny. It displays an emptiness. Or maybe insecurity. Or maybe a lot of things. I don't know. Seclusion. Could that be one? Seclusion, where the individual just separating oneself, drawn in a corner, not wanting to be around others. Would that be a sign? Lack of prayerfulness. Short temper, easily agitated, goes with irritableness. How about a lot of these come home really close here. I think it's just okay to be honest. What about busyness? Maybe that can go along with some of these others. Seclusion, where you just seclude yourself to to work, and you spend all your efforts and energy to trying to get your mind off of whatever might be bothering you. Keeping our priorities straight. We can work way into the night because we are busy. We got a lot to do. But we wouldn't think of rising early to go to prayer meeting. It might be a sign that things aren't okay. I think God too often gets our little crumbs of time. Instead of getting the steak of our time, so to speak. We just might do that if we have enough time. We just might do that. But if not, I'm just okay. You know, there's more things there, but we get the idea. Jesus is the bread of life to us. He must be what we want, desire, and all that we need. The other things are just some additives. But we must have Christ to guide and direct us. When we look at these things for some help, so maybe some of these things speak to us. Maybe some of these things that we talk about here, you know, are have been a challenge to us. And so you want some help. So can we suggest that just do the opposite? So if I have a critical attitude, I need to stop having a critical attitude. Or if I'm unthankful and complaining, maybe I just need to start being thankful. Or the lack of prayer. Purpose in my heart to, I want to be there. Or irritable family, just do the opposite. Is that what needs to be done? That would be a start. But what about just soaking yourself with the eternal Word of God and spending time with Christ, and the rest of these things will fall in place. We know too what our diet consists of. Maybe at certain times of the year that we are more challenged with these things. In those times, make a conscious effort to be in control and not let the flesh rule. This is who we are at war with many times, is our flesh. The flesh and the world are God's enemies. And the flesh goes after the things of this world, and the world appeals to the flesh. They like each other. That is why it says to crucify it. Paul exhorts Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. No man that warreth, that is actively engaged in warfare, and knowing where the warfare is, where the war stands, and what the battlegrounds are, and who the sides are. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. If the flesh and the world are at enmity with God, and they don't like, they don't desire the things of God, they're going to take you away from God, given a half a chance. No man that warreth, that is in that state, is going to entangle himself with the side that's in, with an enemy of God, with the affairs of this life. No man that warreth. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Sometimes we have based too much on our life by others around us or on others around us. You know, it's a blessing to have a church filled with brothers and sisters to walk with. But also let us remember we are all made of the same stuff. I mentioned earlier that we don't measure ourselves by ourselves, but to line ourselves up with the Word of God. We must have that as our guide. It will not lead us astray. Sometimes we look at things wrong. But if we have open lives and open minds, we can be redirected, and we thank God for that. We think we have rights in this life. I can do what I want to. Just let me go. The Lord Jesus' body was broken for you and I. It was broken to feed the multitude. He gave His life to be mocked, to be spit on and trodden upon and crucified. He gave His life to be broken as bread to feed the hungry. May we truly feast on the bread from heaven and be partakers of His life. You know, each individual in here can make a difference. Sometimes we just go along with the flow. Just keep on going. This morning, we just want to clear heaven. Start anew, so to speak. We have opportunity. We will to no other fountain fly, but to the Lord Jesus, who is the bread of life. So if Christ is truly to be my life, then I must know what is His attitude, responses, and habits. When He walked this earth in human vesture, we must study to know Him and to be really like Him. You know, those are easy words to say. I would be like Jesus. You know, I just want to be like Jesus. Those are easy words to say. But what about what Matt said about the week? Through the week, things get tough. Things get rough. And we come up on Sunday morning and we're all primp. We put our smiles on and this life of God is something that cannot stay hidden. It works itself out in conduct and in action, and the contrary is true also. In other words, our lack of knowing and following Jesus Christ will also be known and seen by our conduct. So it takes the giving up of one's ideas, thoughts, pursuits, and to be brought into subjection to the law and mind of Christ, conformed to His likeness and image. It takes absolute surrender. We have those verses in Philippians chapter 2 where He came down from glory, made Himself of no reputation. For Jesus truly to be the bread of life to us, it takes a continual partaking of His likeness. That's what Jesus meant in John 15 when He talks of abiding in the vine. That is the only way to bear fruit. I was going to read John 6 here a little bit earlier. The latter part of it from... I think we'll just leave that part. But let's read John 15, what I just mentioned here. John 15, verses 1, familiar scripture. But I think it goes well with what we're talking about. Verse 1 to... I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. It goes along with, when we draw nigh to God, he will purge us. Be prepared for testing. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. There's oneness. You won't find oneness apart. You won't find oneness in Christ apart from Christ. And by just coasting along, there's not going to be oneness. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, you cannot. It's an impossibility. Except that abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, it's pretty simple, isn't it? For without me, he says, you can do nothing. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He is the only way that we can ever possibly bear any type of fruit that has eternal benefits. We have opportunity to have the fullness of God and have no reason to go through life malnourished. May we be partakers and not undertakers. Jesus, the bread of life.